If you have your Bibles this morning, please, if you would, find the book of 1 Peter. Find 1 Peter chapter number 1 will be our text this morning that will prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been part of a communion service here at Plantation Baptist Church. I'm not sure what types of communion services that you have been part of as you have been throughout your life. But I would begin my service today by submitting to you that what we are doing today, we are doing based upon the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are doing based upon the authority of the Word of God. We are not told in the Scriptures how frequently we are to come to the table of the Lord, but we are told how we are to come to the table of the Lord. We are to come to the table of the Lord as children of the living God. Pastor, isn't everyone in the world a child of God? The Bible would clearly teach differently. Just because you are born into this world does not make you a child of the living God. Everyone born in this world is a creation of God, for God created all life. The Bible would teach us in the book of Galatians this, and if you would just listen. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to be considered a child of God, then I must have my faith in Jesus Christ. So grandma, who just says, well, we're all God's children, or the celebrity that wants to raise money from the fact that we're just all God's children, the Bible would say, no, we are not. Now, there are God's children in this room, and if you are a child of God by faith in Christ, would you say amen? Amen. But you must have been born again. The table of the Lord is for His people. It's for the people that have been born again, that have been saved. God inhabits you. The Bible says it this way, that Christ is in you. That means that your spirit has been birthed or made alive by the Spirit of God. Well, Pastor, I'm religious. Well, good. You must be the most frustrated person in the world. What do you mean? Religion is not the same as being a child of God. Religion is all about your outward doing. Well, I do good deeds. I pray certain prayers. I give alms to the poor. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. That's what religion will demand of you. I like what the old Bible preacher said. He said, religion is man's effort to reach up to God. Jesus is God's effort to reach down to man. So being religious does not make you a child of God. Salvation is not something that is without. It's not within your environment. To be honest with you, salvation is not even in your mind. Some people say, well, I appreciate God. I know there's a God. I pray. I do certain things. Wonderful. But salvation must be within your inner man. Salvation must be in your heart. Your heart is the only part of you that can believe. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 would teach us that with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Amen. So this coming to the table of the Lord is for people who have been born again. Christ lives in you through His Spirit. And this is not something that we're coming to do today so that you can receive righteousness. I always ask God when I preach, God, don't let me offend people with my personality. I don't mind offending people with the word of God or with the cross of Christ. There is an offense there. But I don't want to offend you with my personality. I am a nice guy. Okay? But I want to talk to my Catholic friends just a minute. The Catholic people are taught wrong when it comes to the word of God. Especially when it comes to the table of the Lord. They're taught something called transubstantiation. They're taught that as you eat the bread and as you drink the cup, that some way in a sacramental way that becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. And the confusion comes from in the book of John where it talks about Jesus said, he that eateth and drinketh shall be filled. But that eateth and drinketh is not the physical eating of some bread or the physical drinking of some cup that somehow mysteriously comes to the body of Christ and somehow it brings to you a sacramentalness of holiness. Listen, we're not coming to the table of the Lord to be saved. We're coming to the table of the Lord because we are saved. Okay? So, salvation is not even by works of righteousness. It's by faith in Christ. So don't think of this as being mysterious, as somehow it's going to impart righteousness to you. Only Jesus can do that. But we are commanded, for as often as you come to the table, that we are to do something. We are to show the Lord's death. This is what this event is all about. This is to remind you that Jesus Christ had to die because of your sin. He had to die because of my sin. He died because God loves you. Jesus became a man. Understand this, that Jesus didn't just appear on the scene 2,000 years ago when he was born. Jesus is eternal. He's always been, he will always be. He is the great I am. However, a man took us into sin, Adam. Therefore, a man has to take us out of sin. Now, here's where you better believe in something called the virgin birth. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you cannot be saved. Why, Pastor? Who saved you? Well, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior if he is virgin born. But if Jesus was not virgin born and he was conceived by some other human, then Jesus would not be God. Okay? Because from the beginning, when Adam went into sin, man's sin nature was developed and exposed. And from the loins of Adam, sin has been passed down throughout humanity. In our church, I figure somewhere around 25 different nations gather every week to worship inside of our church. I personally think that's awesome. Okay? So we've got black people, white people, tan people. Some of you look a little yellow. You could use a little sunshine. We got every color you could ever imagine. Amen? But when you trace our roots back, they all come back to a man named Adam. So here's where people are wrong. People think, well, I don't need to be saved because I haven't done A, B, C, or D, or I'm a pretty good person in A, B, C, or D. The problem isn't what you individually do. The problem is who you are. The problem is you were born just like me with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature is under the condemnation and the judgment of God. And that sin nature can never be in the presence of God. That's why you need a new nature. And that nature's from Jesus Christ. So as we gather today, we are showing by these two sacraments, the bread and the cup, we are showing the death of Christ. God had to become a man because a man had to die for us. He had to shed his blood because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the blood that was shed on that cross was God's blood. Now, I believe from the book of Hebrews that the blood of Jesus Christ is not buried in the dirt on Golgotha's hill somewhere. The Bible says, and I'll read it to you when we take the table of the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, as our great high priest, entered into the Holy of Holies that's up in heaven. All of that tabernacle that Moses built was just a type or a picture of what was already built in heaven. And so every year that high priest would go in for the nation of Israel and they would put that blood on the mercy seat and they would find atonement for their sin for a year. And then they'd have to come back and do it again and again. Well, that was all symbolic of what was in heaven. And so when Jesus died on that cross and they stuck him in his side and his blood ran down that cross mixed with the fluid of that water was in his body, somehow he got all of that blood back. And somehow, I don't know when, but it was sometime after he met Mary until when he reached out to the disciples and said, touch me and handle me. He told Mary, don't touch me. Somewhere he went to heaven and he entered into that Holy of Holies. And the God-man took his own blood and he put it on the mercy seat and he stepped back. And the Father said, I accept the blood of my Son, and the salvation now can appear to all men. And my friend, the wage of sin has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can be saved. Don't underestimate the value God puts on blood. Ever since the beginning of creation, blood has been valued by God. The Bible says that life is in the blood. Now, God protected the blood of animals, and God also protected the blood of people. Did you know that the Bible teaches, and God told Noah and God told the nation of Israel, that they were not to eat or drink blood? Please tell me you do not eat or drink blood. Pastor, I like my steak medium rare. Fine. But you make sure there's no blood in it. The Bible says that life is in the blood. That's why God wouldn't even let the nation of Israel eat any animal that was strangled, because the blood was still within it. And blood is representative of life. Life is in the blood. God protected blood of the humans, and he didn't want us to shed one another's blood. And so he said, by man's blood, if you shed man's blood, by man, his blood should be shed by man. And so God did what he could do to protect blood. Why? Because God knew the value of life that was in blood. Now, if God values the blood of beast, and God values the blood of man, my dear friend, you better believe God values the blood of his dear Son. With that understanding, would you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18? He wants you to understand something in this passage. For as much as ye, that's to the Christian, as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed, that's not there, but the thought's there, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter understood the value and the preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I thought as we come to the table of the Lord today, I would remind you of how precious the blood of Christ is. And I'll give you five reasons why the blood of Christ, I believe, is precious today. I think you could actually have 5 million, but I only have time for five. Number one, the blood of Jesus is precious today to me, and it should be to our church, and it should be in this moment, because of its redeeming power. Because of its redeeming power. To redeem means to purchase back or to buy back. Understand, we were under the curse of sin. Understand that we were under the curse of the law. The Bible says, for the wage of sin is death. The law demanded that that payment be made for that grievance or that transgression against the law. And so even though we are the transgressor, the law would say, do this and you will live. Don't do this and you will make it. Well, no man can keep the whole law except for Jesus. No man is perfect. And so I found myself under the bondage and under the curse of that law. But hallelujah, Jesus Christ's blood has paid the ransom for me. He has fulfilled the law in total. That means this, my friend, wherever the law required justice, justice has been appropriated in Christ. You and I were not able to pay this price. You and I, when it came to the measurement of the law, we would be found to be short, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ was sinless. He was perfect. He never lusted. He never lied. He never stole. He never was immoral. He never cursed. He never hated. He never had unrighteous anger. He never was bitter in his spirit. And everything that the law required, he fulfilled. And so when he went to the cross, my friend, the thief was right. The thief said, we're here because of our doings, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Pilate was right. Stinking coward. He stood in front of those people, and he could have spared the life of Christ, but he had no guts. And he said, I find no fault in this man. They hated him so bad. Crucify him, crucify him. And that stinking coward said, away with him. His blood be upon your hands. Well, I got news for you. Pilate's in hell today. And he would to God that he would have humbled himself to the blood of Christ. My friends, you know why the blood of Jesus is so precious to me? It redeemed me from the curse of the law. And God's people should say amen to that. You know, and there's a second reason. Deals with its atoning power. Atonement. Maybe you've heard this word. Atonement is A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. You could say it at one with God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that has unified me with God. Under the law, God never forgave sin apart from blood. We call them blood brothers today. We have a blood brother. Well, my friend, through the blood of Jesus, we've been reconciled to God. Go ahead. Go do all the good things you want to do. Go do all the sacraments that you think you can do. Go ahead and do all the good deeds. Make all the changes in your life. Pray all the prayers you want. Worship all you want. Be as good a boy and a girl as you possibly can. But if you do not come under the blood of Jesus Christ, you will die and you will go to hell. The blood of Christ redeems me from the curse of the law, but it also reconciles and unifies and brings me into atonement with God. And I must come through the blood. Pastor, do I got to go kill an animal and have a sacrifice? Go ahead. They'll arrest you and you'll be on Channel 7. But God already killed his boy. And he shed his blood. And you and I, by faith, can come under that blood and be reconciled to God. Amen. Third, it's precious because of its cleansing power. Its cleansing power. John said, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all of our sin. Every murder, every theft, every hatred, every adultery, every whoremonger, every dishonest, every bitter, every envy, every sin that a man can commit can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Oh, what a joy it is to have our robes, to wash our robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. I love to be clean. There's nothing worse than being filthy dirty for a long time. You feel grimy. You stink. You look nasty. Kind of like the men at the end of that thing yesterday. That's what sin did to my life. Do you know why I love the Lord? Because he cleansed me from all my sin. If you're sitting out there and you think, Pastor, I'd like to be a Christian, but I don't know that God could forgive me because of what I've done. I wish I could start right here with Bob Hamlin and make my way around here. And you're going to find out that some of the most wicked people you could ever know are seated in this room. The Bible says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are made clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. A fool would think that you have sinned a sin that God could not forgive. The blood of Jesus is precious because of its redemptive power, because of its atoning work, because of its cleansing power. But it's also precious to me because of its preserving power. Do you remember the plague of Egypt? Do you remember the 10th plague when the death angel was coming? And God came to Moses and God told Moses, go tell the nation of Israel to take them a lamb. Make sure it's a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I want them to prepare this lamb, and I want them to kill this lamb, and I want them to take a basin, and I want them to catch the blood of this lamb. Don't miss any of the blood. I want you to take hyssop, and I want you to go to your doorpost, and I want you to strike the doorpost with that blood. And I want you to put the blood of that lamb on that door, and then I want you to get everybody you can get. And I want you to get behind that blood, because the death angel's coming. And when the death angel comes, he's going to stop and he's going to look at the door. And if there's no blood on the door, the death angel's going to reach in there and the death angel's going to touch that family. And the firstborn of that family will die. End of the beast. But God said to Moses, but when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Bible talks about that night that there went out a cry from a nation of people, as in those homes, men and women, firstborn, began to drop and the life went out of them. And you stop and you think about that. How foolish it would have been for them to die. All they had to do was get behind the blood. But at the same time, you heard a cry of agony of the life taken. You could hear the worship of the house that the death angel went by. Now listen to this preacher. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve the deepest part of hell. But as a little boy, I came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I got behind his blood. And there will come a day when there will be the checking of that blood. There will come a day when God will look at me And God will see the blood of Jesus in my life as he sees it now. And eternal death will pass over me, for I have eternal life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There, the Bible talks about a day when the heavens will melt and the earth will rain with fire, and people will literally cry out for the rocks to cover them, and they will try to hide from God because they're not covered by the blood. But my friend, let me tell you something. Nothing or no one can wash the blood away from my heart. And when that day, when I'm measured against the sin of my life, there will be no reckoning of that sin, because there will be the seeing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And even though I deserve the deepest part of hell, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's precious blood. The last reason the blood is precious is because of the prevailing power of the blood. What does that mean? That means the blood of Jesus has power upon the earth. Has power in my heart, has power in my mind. It has power against the evil one. It has power for me to stake my flag and my claim upon the Lord Jesus. I love what the writer wrote. He said, "He that fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon that will cut through soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The blood of Jesus is a weapon that makes hell tremble, makes heaven subservient. It makes earth obedient to the will of the men who can wield it. The blood of Jesus, sin dies at its presence. Death ceases to be death. Hell itself would be dried up if that blood could operate there. The blood of Jesus, heaven's gates are open. Bars of iron are pushed back. The blood of Jesus, my doubts and my fears flee. My troubles and my disaster disappear. The blood of Jesus. Shall I not go on conquering and to conquer, so long as I can plead the blood of Jesus?" And God's people should say amen. So here we come to the table of the Lord. Here we come as God's children. My friend, if you're not saved in this room, please don't eat of the bread or drink of the cup. Just let it go by. My dear friend, if you're not a believer in Christ and you'd like to be a Christian today, you'd like to have your sin forgiven, while the elements are being passed out, you can simply bow your head in your seat where you are, and you can say, "Lord Jesus, I confess myself a sinner, and I believe that you're the living God, and I want you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and be my Lord and my Savior." And you can be saved right there in that pew today. God's child, when you get the bread, don't eat it immediately. Hold it. Bow your head and say, "Thank you, God, for becoming a man. Thank you, God, for allowing your body to be broken for me. Thank you for the sacrifice." When you get the cup, be reminded of the cost of your salvation. And then, while you're sitting there, let the Lord Jesus become preeminent in your heart and your mind. If there's anything between you and the Lord, this would be the time to say, "God, take this away from me. Help me. I need you. But I want to commune with you, and I want you to be preeminent in my life. And I want my life to be pleasing to you." The table was designed for us to do spiritual checkup in our life. Christian, if you have unconfessed sin in your life and you're not willing to get it right now, you better let the elements go by. If you were out this week, you live like a pagan, and God knows that, you either get it right with God or you let them elements go by. But don't you dare make a mockery of the blood of God. It's precious to God, and it should be precious to God's people. Shall we pray?